We receive your word today by faith, and we thank you that it will bear fruit in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe God's going to speak to you today.
Amen.
That's what you came for, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, never come to church without expectation. Never just come just because. But we come to honor him. We come to hear from him. Amen. Be touched by his glory and leave changed.
Amen.
Amen. I want to leave changed. How about you?
Amen.
I don't want church to be, you know, routine. Never want it to be routine. And I encourage you, take that word that was given. Don't just listen to a prophetic word in the midst of our church service and then just let it go. Write it down somewhere. Make a note in your phone. Say, the Lord told us today, Romans 8:32, if I've given you my very own son, if I've not spared Jesus, I will give you everything with him.
Amen.
Be assured of my love. Be firm in my love. Nothing can separate you from my love. That's the word, the exhortation from the Holy Ghost today. And by the way, we're teaching on prophecy. So that went right in line with what we're teaching on. We're teaching on the Power Tool series, Gift of Prophecy, Part 3. You say, Scott, when are you going to be done with this? I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying learning about the gifts of the Spirit. I think we could talk about it all year long because you know what? Everything you hear, you'll produce. If you hear teaching on finances for some time and you soak that in, all of a sudden in your life you'll start bearing fruit in the area of financial prosperity. If you hear series on healing, you'll bear the fruit of what you're listening to. The Word will bear its fruit. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, 1 Corinthians 14, that's where we're going to begin. You knew that already if you've been here for a while. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. This is the strong chapter on those things. I heard a respected Bible teacher point this out this week, and I thought it was pretty interesting. He said 6 of the 9 gifts are really meant to be activated outside the church. Not just in the church, but, I mean, not just outside the church, but inside the church and outside the church. 3 of the gifts are really more directed for believers within the church. And those, can you guess what those might be? Anyone want to take a guess on one of them? Prophecy is one. A message in tongues with the interpretation of tongues. Those 3 gifts. Prophetic utterance, which does what? It encourages, exhorts, and comforts, right? See, we have the Word of God. As believers, we have the Word. In other words, you don't need a miracle. You don't need so much the gift of working of miracles in your life if you're feeding on the Word and healing, right?
Amen.
You might need to be encouraged in healing. You might come and a prophetic utterance might come forth and say, believe my promises. Believe it. I'm true. I'm your healer. Maybe that's the prophetic utterance that causes you, provokes you to believe the Word. But you and I know how to, from our faith, reach out and take a healing in our body. But how about out there? Those people out there never heard that Jesus heals. That's why they need a gift of a working of miracle. Make sense?
Yeah.
So here within the church, we have the speaking in tongues, interpretation in tongues, and prophecy. Those 3 gifts are primarily for us as believers. But also, now and then, you need a working of miracle, and I do too. Working of miracles, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Now, I'm not saying those aren't meant to flow in the church, but out there, take those 6 other gifts and use them out there. I was in Torchy's Tacos the other day getting a little breakfast taco. And I love going in there because their theme is demons. I mean, they got pictures of the devil on the wall, Torchy, the devil. You know, I mean, and the young people that work in there are so lost. So I love going in there like I feel like I'm invading hell to get my breakfast taco. And so I'll go in there and I'm like, Jesus, who do you want me to speak to today? And this young guy behind the counter, as I'm getting my food, and I just, you know, I just dropped an encouragement bomb on him. Just kind of a, you know, man, did you know God loves you? He kind of stopped and said, yeah, he loves you very much. He kind of smiled like, yeah, I knew that. He goes, I'm not much of a faith guy. And I said, well, I said, he cares for you and he's looking out for you. And the more I said, it's like, whew, this anointing, this river started coming. It was like I was speaking a word of wisdom. It was like, this is God's purpose in your life right now. This is what God's doing in you. And then I kind of stopped, you know, I almost stunned myself. And as I took my credit card back and started to walk out the door, he looked at me and he said, thanks, I needed to hear that. And it was very sincere. And, you know, young people, I mean, they got to keep the cool image up. So for him to break out of the cool and say, thanks, I needed to hear that. Yeah, God was working on him. So I'm just telling you, the gifts of the Spirit are meant to be used out there. Take them. Everywhere you go, take them. And trust the Lord. And step out on a limb. Don't be afraid. Listen, we've said it before. I'll say it again. You and I are going to have to step out of our comfort zone in order to bring comfort.
Amen.
Amen. We're about to step into the Christmas season. Tidings of comfort, and joy. And we got the message. Amen? Well, let's read it. I'm getting to preaching. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their what? Their strengthening or their edification, their exhortation, and their comfort. I use three modern words to kind of shake it up a little bit, because King James can get us a little bit churchy feeling and a little bit off of what, you know, what today's modern meaning is. And I use these three words for exhortation, or excuse me, for edification. I use the word boost. Boost. How many of you know we need a lift now and then? All right, so the gift of prophecy is for a boost. If you need a boost in your faith, sometimes the gift of prophecy will come forth and it will edify you. It will boost you, lift you up. Secondly, we said exhortation. I used the word persuade. Sometimes we need a little persuasion in our faith. And the gift of prophecy will come forth to persuade you. It calls you near. It calls you close to believe God and trust God. That's what the gift of New Testament prophecy is for, exhortation or persuading you to believe God. Thirdly, we said comfort, and the word there I used was console. But comfort's a good word too. That is a modern word we use, and so we're comfortable with that. But console, to comfort, to console. The Holy Spirit he knows the suffering that we're going through, and when a prophetic word comes forth, sometimes the Holy Spirit's just like a big hug. You could use the word hug there. The word of prophecy is for a hug. Sometimes we just need a Holy Ghost hug. Amen? You just need a little comfort in your faith. And the Holy Spirit will manifest the gift of New Testament prophecy to hug you. Beware of anyone who expresses, "I'm a prophet," and their prophetic ministry does nothing but push you away, scare you, got you running for cover. Okay, it's what we call a spiritual bully. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But anyways, we also said this. Old Testament prophecy was a foretelling. A foretelling. Old Testament prophecy was a foretelling. And what did it tell? It said, Jesus is coming. In the Old Testament, the prophets would say things and they'd be talking to Israel one moment or talking to this person one moment, and all of a sudden a message would come out and it would be about Jesus, like this glimpse of Jesus would just burst out of them. It was a foretelling. Jesus is coming. New Testament prophecy expresses this. Jesus has come. Jesus has come. So New Testament prophecy exhorts us, brings us back to the Word of Christ. It reminds us Jesus has done this for you on the cross. He's healed you by his stripes. Be exhorted. Be persuaded of that faith. Be drawn closer to him in your faith. That's what New Testament prophecy does. It reminds us God has given his love, as we heard earlier. He has poured out his love through the cross, through Jesus. Amen? New Testament prophecy always reminds us of God's love. It always comforts us in God's love and persuades us, trust the love of God.
Yeah.
You know, John the Baptist, he was the culmination of Old Testament prophets. The Bible says, Jesus said there was no greater Old Testament prophet than John the Baptist. Do you remember that
yes.
quote? And what was John the Baptist's message?
Jesus.
Repent for the kingdom of God, who is Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus was a human expression of the rule of God on earth through a man. So when he says the kingdom of God is coming, that's the same thing as saying Jesus is coming. Amen? So John the Baptist prophesied, he said, repent, change your ways, because Jesus is coming. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, repent, because Jesus has come. Are you with me? You see the difference? Everything looks back to the cross. Everything looks back now to Jesus. Okay? Beware of prediction prophecy that goes outside the bounds of the message of Jesus. Now, there is word of wisdom. And in the word of wisdom, that gift, which we've talked about already, right? Yeah, we covered that several weeks back. In the word of wisdom, there is a foretelling of God's purposes for your life. Okay? But beware of anything that calls itself prophecy, but that doesn't have Jesus at its center.
That's right.
Because Old Testament prophecy said Jesus is coming. New Testament prophecy looks back and says Jesus has come. Amen? Who's the focal point in either case?
Jesus.
I love these glimpses, what I call outbursts of grace that we see in the Old Testament. This is just an aside. It's really not my message, but since we're talking about prophecy, I got to say it. In Isaiah chapter 9, if you're writing, taking notes, just write these references. We won't turn to them. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 19. In one breath, Isaiah says this, by the wrath of the Lord, the land will be scorched. Yikes. Israel was in idolatry and the prophets were prophesying about it. They were talking about it. The land will be scorched. And in the next breath, he says, but unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Like, that's a Christmas story coming out right in the midst of this scorching earth kind of, you know, judgment, doom, and gloom prophecy. That's a glimpse of Jesus. Amen? That's found in Isaiah 9. In Jeremiah 23, same thing. Jeremiah says this, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. Then all of a sudden he says in verse 2, a righteous branch. Oh, excuse me, verse 5. A righteous branch, a king shall reign and prosper. Who's that?
Jesus.
So in one breath they're just, you know, Israel, God's mad at you. Now, understand this. If you haven't read the Old Testament, I will encourage you, set your goal for 2020. Read through the whole Old Testament. If you've never done it before, it's easy to do. 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday. You'll get through the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. But the heart of the Old Testament, you've got to understand, God did all this. He brought Israel through the Red Sea, took them out of Egypt, gave them this awesome promised land. They didn't have to even build houses. The houses were built. It's like walking into a, you know, what do they call that? Master planned neighborhood. It was already set up. God just ran those giants out of there. They drove them out, and God ran them out with hornets, and they just had to occupy the land. And they did for hundreds of years, whatever it was, the full length of time. And then they fell into idolatry, and that's when Isaiah and Jeremiah, some of these prophets, rose up. That's why they were so angry. But even in the midst of the curse of the law that Israel had broken, the judgment that was pronounced because of their idolatry, God says, he's angry. Unto us, child is born. Jesus. And every time Jesus was mentioned, it was like a breath of fresh air in the midst of all this judgment and gloom and doom. Isn't that awesome? In the Old Testament, you see it. It's all through. There's little nuggets all through there. I encourage you to read Isaiah, read Jeremiah. It's tough to get through because there's so much anger going on. But you'll see these little snippets here and there. And there's like snapshots. Grace is coming. Grace is coming. Jesus is coming. God's favor is coming. It's like little snapshots all throughout the Old Testament. Holy Ghost snapshots. Hallelujah. I love it. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. Peter describes it this way. The Word of God is, you know, people say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No. If you look through Holy Ghost eyes, you'll see every writer. They harmonize so beautifully with each other. What I was just saying about the Old Testament prophets, look what Peter says here. 1 Peter 1:10. He says, concerning this salvation, New Testament salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you. What was it that Isaiah and Jeremiah, in the midst of all their gloom and doom prophecy to Israel, what was it they spoke of? The Bible says here, they spoke of the grace that was to come to you. That's what Peter says. I love that phrase. The grace that was to come to you. I'm reading in the New International. What is it in King James? The grace that should come unto you, or salvation that should come unto you. This is what they prophesied over, saints. Don't miss it. It's not all about the gloom and doom. It's about Jesus. Verse 11, they were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them they were not serving themselves, but you. Say me. Isaiah served me. Jeremiah served me. Because they what? They prophesied of the grace that was to come. Isn't that good? When they predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12. They were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by who? Those who have preached the gospel. That's the apostles. The first 11 apostles. By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Look at this last part. I love it. Even angels long to look into these things. Ooh, that's a good verse. That gives me chills. You know what that's saying? The mystery of the new covenant for you and I is so glorious that angels are still scratching their heads trying to figure it out. They're still trying to figure it out. Why? Because for thousands of years, they saw the judgment of God. They saw Noah's flood come. They saw the curse of the law. They saw people get stoned for breaking the law. They saw the earth open up and swallow Korah and all his rebellious friends, you know, his family. They saw these things. The angels witnessed these things. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene. Favor has arrived. Kindness has arrived. Not judgment. Man hadn't changed. We're still sinning. We still deserve it. But Jesus has come. Are you hearing me this morning? I said Jesus has come. Amen. New Testament prophecy declares Jesus has come.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm schooling you today, saints, because I know that years from now you may not be here. You may be in another place in life. Life takes us all different directions. Amen? Some of us will move out of state. Some of us will go on to other churches. Churches are like pastures. And I don't expect that sheep will feed in the same pasture forever. I get it. I haven't. Have you? You're here. Obviously, you haven't. But I'm telling you, there may come a day when someone stands up in front of you and declares themselves to be a prophet. Test the word. Amen. Test the spirit of what's being presented. It should say this, in essence, Jesus has come.
Hallelujah.
Favor has come. Mercy has come. Grace has come. That's what New Testament prophecy should always, always, always present. I think I shared with you last week when we were in Bible school. And this guy from overseas came and terrified all of us young Bible school students. You know, he got up in the name of a prophet, started to say, "You!" And I was like basically saying, "God is mad at you." And he was doing, thankfully he wasn't doing it with the kids. He was doing it with the staff. It's like, yeah, we can watch the staff get chewed out by God. But then we left there and it's like we're all thinking, was that really God? I'm here to tell you, it wasn't. Now, I'm not saying the man wasn't, but the spirit in which the word was given. See, we don't judge the people. I'm not telling you, I'm not standing up today saying judge the prophet, but judge the word.
Right.
Judge the spirit in which they present themselves. Are they presenting Jesus in their New Testament prophecy? It should always present the heart of Jesus. Look at Revelation 19. Are you learning?
Amen.
This is important for you to learn. Why? Because I'm telling you, there's spiritual bullies out there. There are people out there that will use the spiritual card in the name of spiritual ministry to intimidate saints. And I'm sorry, they're misguided, folks.
Yes.
How many of you know when you take the old covenant and you try to mix it with the new, Jesus said that an old wineskin can't contain new wine. Now, I don't understand that completely, but apparently the bags they use to store their wine in, it just wouldn't work. I guess it'd be the equivalent of today's barrels, okay? Something to do with the barrel. I don't know. It's wine. But, you know, Jesus said these two can't mix. You can't mix the old covenant, the old covenant spirit, which was what? Condemnation. The law was meant to bring man to the end of himself. I didn't intend to preach this, but let me just get a little aside here. The law brings men under condemnation by design.
Yes.
So that you'll see the need for a Savior. That's its intent. But if you try to mix the law, the spirit of that condemnation, with the new covenant on this side of the cross, you get confusion. Don't ever be confused. I don't care if the guy wears a nice, slick suit, you know, drives up in a limousine, and you know, they roll out the red carpet for him in a big mega church, and he gets up and prophesies, but if he doesn't present the spirit of Jesus, grace, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, if it's at all condemning, legalistic, you aren't good enough, you should be ashamed of yourself, throw it out.
Yes.
With the bathwater. All right? Revelation 19:10. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John talking. He's talking about an angel. He fell at the feet of an angel to worship him. How many of you know angels are so magnificent if we could see them with the eyes of the Spirit? I mean, they're bigger than... You ever been around an NFL ball player? I had one come in my piano store one time. They're massive. They're like the Incredible Hulk. They're just... Because they're just... You know, all they do is lift weights all day and just do all that. And they get big, and they're like angels, and they're almost intimidated. They're almost like, oh, you just almost stand there aghast at how massive their proportions are. Well, angels are much bigger. And John says here, I was standing before this angel, was giving me a message. I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, don't do it. Never be distracted by angels, saints. We said this, angels are our servants. They're like waiters at a fine restaurant. You don't worship the waiter, you enjoy the food. The focus is the food, Jesus. But there are, what did we say? They're agents to serve us, the kingdom. They serve it up. Amen? Do not do it. He said, I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit or the heart or the essence of New Testament prophecy should present Jesus. The testimony, it should testify of Jesus. Anybody who gets up and says, I'm speaking in the name of the Lord, what they bring in essence, you and I are to judge, to see if it presents the testimony of Jesus. Does it testify to Jesus, what we know of Jesus? We say, well, I don't know that much about Jesus. Get in the book. This is where you learn. This is where you grow. Okay? We only get you in here an hour a week. It's not enough. You're going to have to get in the book yourself. And me too. All right? I'm the preacher, and I stay in the book. But the testimony of Jesus is New Testament prophecy. That's a powerful, it seems like a redundant statement, but it's really, there's a lot of power in that statement. Prophecy should testify of Jesus. That's what he's saying. Amen? You got it, I can tell. I look on your face, you got it. So you ask yourself the question, does this gel with Jesus? Listen, there are guys out there who, in the name of the Lord, they show up at funerals. And they, you know, they holler evil things, you know, like, ah, they'll shout against police officers. They'll come up to, you know, you've seen it in the last couple of years in the news, these guys that show up at officers, police officers' funerals. And in the name of God, you know, injustice. They're crying out for, you know, against injustice. Listen, that's not the spirit of Jesus. There are people who show up at abortion clinics and yell horrible things to ladies who are going into abortion clinics. Listen, I'm against abortion. I'm for the babies. I'm for the mamas too, but I'm against the practice of abortion. But the spirit of Jesus wouldn't yell hideous things at those women. Don't be fooled by that. That's not the spirit of Jesus. That's not the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
Those bracelets we wore years ago had some strength, some merit to them. What would Jesus do? Really? That's the spirit of prophecy. What would Jesus do?
Amen.
Okay? So don't be fooled by it. In the name of religion, sometimes these people show up, they'll show up at gay parades and they'll holler awful things at these people who are in deception and need Jesus. Need freedom in their lives. And their spirit is in the wrong spirit. They're in the name of God coming, but it's the wrong spirit.
That's
why this verse is so powerful. The spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is the true spirit of prophecy. Look at another verse with me. It talks about judging the word. 1 John 4. It's right next to Revelation. Just skip over to the left. 1 John 4. 1 John 4:1. Look at this verse. John said that, now remember, John was a lover. John's not a confrontive kind of guy. John is the guy that leaned against Jesus' breast. John was a young man. The Bible scholars tell us he was probably around 20 years of age or so, 17 to 20, 16, thank you. He was a young teenager when he was running with these disciples. And so when it says he leaned on Jesus, he leaned against Jesus at the Last Supper. It wasn't kind of a weird affinity thing. It was John, he was like, Jesus was 33 years old. Jesus was like a father figure to him. It's like he was daddy. Okay, he's cuddling up to daddy. And John was a lover. He wasn't a confrontive person. But look what he says here in 1 John 4:1. He says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits. See whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Test the spirits, one translation says. Test the spirits. Saints, we're called to test the spirits. Everything that's given in the name of prophecy is not true prophecy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people just filling the air with more hot air out there. You got to judge prophecy. John said it right here. John the lover. John the guy who says, hey, I'm a lover, not a fighter. John who says, I hate contention. I hate confrontation. But he says this, when it comes to prophecy, test the spirits.
Yes.
Judge the prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14, which we were in just a while ago, there's a verse, just make a note of the passage, 29. Well, no, we got to look at it. It's so good. 1 Corinthians 14, go back there. 29 through 31. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Look what it says here. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. If a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop, for you can all prophesy in turn, so everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Again, prophecy in the New Testament is to instruct us and encourage us. Amen? But he says here, you should weigh carefully what's being said. Okay? A couple weeks, we're going to have Brother Joe Corey. Saints, I wouldn't have a minister in this pulpit if I didn't trust him. I've seen the man in action. I heard great things about him. Last April, we went up and heard him. But I'm just saying, we've tested. We've seen the word in action. That's why we trust him to come to our pulpit. But still, no matter what's said from this pulpit, test the spirit. That's your job. That's my job. Test it all. How many of you know, even the right minister, sometimes, prophesies wrongly. Doesn't mean he's an evil person. Doesn't mean he has bad intent. He's called human. Right? And we see through a glass darkly. All right. Good. You got it. All right, let me mention these few things here. Prophecy should never usurp Scripture. Prophecy should never, ever contradict Scripture. Throw it out. Okay? Someone says, I was in this great service the other day, and the prophet spoke to me, and he said, I'm supposed to marry this man over here. The problem was that guy's already married. That's not of God. All right? Prophecy should never contradict the Word of God. Amen? You with me?
Amen.
Prophecy should never contradict what the Lord has shown you through your own prayer life. You have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with God. If something feels off in here, you've learned to hear from God. I've learned to hear from God. If it feels off and we don't feel the peace in here, question it. Question it. It should never go against godly counsel. If you receive a personal prophetic word and then you go to a trusted elder or a trusted minister or a friend or somebody in the faith that you trust, that prophetic word should never, it shouldn't just be so crazy and outlandish. You know, you're supposed to, sell everything and go start a Mercedes dealership and you don't know a thing about cars or selling or anything. Your friends will know better. Tell them.
Yes.
Your friend will get up in your face and say, that's stupid. I don't think that was God, okay? Trust the counsel of godly friends. But, you know, sometimes God just calls us to foolish things, too, so don't throw it all out. And finally, prophecy should never contradict the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, you can make a note of that reference, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Bless you. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. How many sons of God do we have in here? Ladies, you can raise your hand on this because we're all in Christ. It erases the gender thing once we get put in Christ. We're all sons of God. We're in that position of being talked to by our Heavenly Father. We're led by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, don't let a prophetic word contradict what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you personally. Okay? It should confirm. And we're going to get more into this, I think, in the next session. The prophetic word should always confirm what God's already speaking to you. That doesn't mean it can't reveal something new to you. But what's revealed, if you're not sure about it, you say, well, I never heard God talk to me about that in here. We just put that on a shelf. You write it down. How many of you know you should write this down? All right, we all have iPhones or Androids or some sort of robotic box in our hand nowadays. Listen, in a couple weeks when Brother Joe Corey comes, I admonish you all to bring your phone to church. It's the one time I encourage you to use your phone in church because there's a thing in here called voice memo. How many of you learned how to use voice memo? All right, when the prophet starts speaking, you ought to have that voice memo turned on.
Amen.
You ought to have that phone in your hand ready to go, ready to record that personal word that's being given to you. And then take it home and then type it out. And keep a notebook of those prophetic utterances that are given to your life. Why? Because Paul told Timothy, he said, with the prophetic word, you will war a good warfare. God gave Joseph a dream.
Yes, that's right.
What happened next?
Yeah.
Little scuffle with the brothers.
Yeah.
Life's in the pits, literally. Sold into slavery to Egypt. So how many of you know, right after the word comes, the enemy comes to snatch the word. That's why you ought to keep a note. Record it. Write it down.
Amen.
So you can war a good warfare with that prophecy. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I got some cool things to share with you, but I'm limited on time. I want to say this. There's an Old Testament passage. It's really a funny story. Israel was fighting the Philistines, their longtime rivals. You know, like when I grew up, I was in LaPorte High School, and then there was the Deer Park Deers. So the Bulldogs and the Deers always, you know, went head-to-head because they were neighboring suburbs. It's kind of a typical thing in high school football. And the Philistines and the Israelites were always fighting. And there's this one story. You can make a note of the reference. It's 1 Samuel 4, verse 9 and 10. The Philistines were about to be defeated, and they roused themselves. And in this story, it's hilarious because, in a sense, a prophet among them stood up and said, rise up, O Philistines. Fight these Israelites, or we'll become their slaves like they've been ours. Oh, is he like a cheerleader? It's almost like the equivalent of prophecy. It's like he was prophesying to his own soldiers. He's a heathen. He's a Philistine, right? But I'm telling you, they were so aroused and so encouraged by this man's proclamation. The Bible says they smote the Israelites. It was unthinkable to them to be slaves to the Israelites, like the Israelites had been slaves to them. And in this one word, infused such courage in the Philistines for them to rise up, because it was so unthinkable for them to be slaves to the Israelites, that because of this prophetic word, if you will, I'm calling it a prophetic word, it was like a prophetic word of exhortation, don't let them defeat us or we'll become their slaves. It was so empowering to them that they beat the Israelite army. Huh. The power of prophetic word. Look at Ephesians 2. We're going to wind this down. Ephesians 2, 21. The Holy Spirit quickened this scripture to me recently, and I want to... How many of you know the Holy Ghost doesn't have to say... You know, guys who are really good at what they do don't have to say a whole lot. When E.F. Hutton talks, I can tell how old you are by filling in the blank. Some of these young people are looking at me like, what? When E.F. Hutton talks...
People listen.
Thank you, Alan. People listen. Remember that old commercial from the 70s? I don't even know who that guy was, but when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Yeah, whatever. Whoever it was. But it was money talk. And I was a kid, but it was a funny commercial. But listen, when the Holy Ghost says things, sometimes he'll just bring out one word. It's powerful. One word. And you know, we can camp on, we can do a holding pattern on one word from the scripture for months. If you really chew on it with your faith. Look at this verse in Ephesians 2, 21. In him, in Christ Jesus, this is talking about, the whole building. Who's the whole building? The church. That's you and I. Amen. It's not a physical building. It's people. Say, I'm the church. I'm the building. You are the building. God is building you. In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together. How many of you know, in order for us to rise and to become what God has us to become, we have to be joined together. You hear Christians say, oh, I don't need church. Me and the man upstairs got our own thing going. That's a famous quote. Yeah, how many of you have heard that one?
Yeah.
Right? I don't need church. I got a thing going with the man upstairs. No, that's not what the scripture teaches. If you're in Christ, you should be joined together, the scripture says. And what happens when you're joined together? It rises. I love that word in the modern translation. Groweth, yeah, in the King James, okay, it's not quite as effective, but it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. What is the Lord doing in your life right now? What is he doing in my life right now? He's causing me to rise. What is the prophetic word good for? It causes you to rise. Because how many of you know we're in constant warfare in this life? Have you noticed life will squash you? Life will push you down? That's the world we live in. Jesus said, while you're in the world, you will have... Exactly. That's why you need to sit like rain, like the grass here in Houston needs to sit under rain constantly, especially in the summer months. You need to be rained on constantly. You ought to be in every wet, spirit-filled, rain prophetic service you can get your feet to. Why? Because you need it. I need it. As we join ourselves together with the body of Christ and with prophetic ministries that are powerful, that hear from God and know how to speak a word that's in line with the new covenant, not mixed with the old,
yes.
Not condemning, not squashing you down, but encouraging you, you and I will rise, the scripture says, to become a holy temple in the Lord. A dwelling place, verse 22 says, in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
Saints, this is God's desire for you and I. We shared Wednesday night. We said, look, it's allergy season. How many of you feel in the allergies? Yeah, it's out there like a monster. Every October, I used to get a shot every year. I became such a regular, the nurse would look at me. She said, 80 milligrams, Dipyrimetidrol. I said, yep, that's me. You know, this year I decided to do something different. And I shared Wednesday night with, there's an experiment, don't have time to read you all the results, but Dr. Carl Peterson did an experiment with people who pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues. And they said there's a 35 to 40% release of like an antibody in your immune system that happens. It's a secretion in your brain that happens, and in my brain too, when we pray in the Holy Ghost,
amen.
When we speak in tongues. With the Holy Spirit utterance. Guess what I'm doing this year for allergy season? I'm boosting my immune system. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost like never before. Yeah. I'm shunned down every chance I get. I might take a nose spray now and then. I'm not going for that shot. Yeah. That nurse is going to be bored this year. She's going to be saying, where's that guy with that 80 milligram Depo-Medrol? I'm not there. The Holy Ghost is going to empower me. And I'm going to rise over this allergy season. Because Jude says you build yourself up in your most holy faith. What is God's desire for you and I? Rise. 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 God's out to build our life. We were saying about it earlier. I will build my life upon your love. It's a firm foundation. Holy Ghost, New Testament prophecy should do what? Should cause you to rise.
Amen.
Rise. Amen. Every time you get a prophetic word, God is building your life, causing you to rise.
Amen.
To rise. To rise. To become a holy temple in which he lives by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. So this is what he's doing in us. There are scriptures we don't have time to read, but I'll summarize the thought. And we tend to lose sight of this. Moses, the Bible says he lived to 120, and his eyes did not grow dim, and his normal strength was not abated. Caleb, at age 85, took on the sons of Anak. Anak was this famous giant. I don't know how tall he was, the Bible doesn't say, but he was famous. He's all through the Old Testament. Anak this, and Anak that. The Anakites. Well, Mr. Anak had three sons. And Caleb took on the son. How many of you know the sons are younger than the dad, than pop? Caleb was 85 years old, so he's probably taking on 30 to 50-year-old young bucks, right? At age 85, and he slew them. And he told Joshua, he said, give me my mountain, because I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40 years old, when Moses sent us into the promised land. Folks, if we'll look and really believe it, there are stories all through the Old Testament of God supernaturally renewing people in their old age.
Yes.
Renewing them beyond their years.
Amen.
There's a verse in Psalms 92 that says they will still be bearing fruit in their old age.
Amen.
They'll be green and fruitful. Amen. Fresh and green, it says in the New International Version. Fresh and green. Psalm 92. God's desire for your life and for mine is that we grow and grow and become stronger. Did you know the world presents a different picture? I have to just say this. In the world, we see people get older and they get what?
Weaker.
They get older and they slow down. They get older and they don't walk as much. They get older and they don't run as much. They get older and they sneeze more. They get older and they stay under the blanket more. The Bible presents a whole different picture.
That's it.
And that's under the old covenant. Do you believe that as you get older, your eyesight could get better?
Amen.
You ought to. Do you believe as you get older, you could get stronger?
Yes.
You ought to. Because Ephesians 2 says, as we spend time, as we join ourselves in the body of Christ, God is building us, causing us to rise.
Amen.
Did you know, if you'll listen, I wish I had time to read it. If you'll sit in the presence of God all of your life, you'll sit under the word. Listen, you may get mad at me someday and leave this church. I'm sorry. I'm not out to offend anybody. I'm like John. I'm like Mr. Non-confrontational. But listen, all I ask is that you stay in church all your life.
Yes.
Amen.
I said stay in church all your life.
Yes.
Amen.
I've had plenty of chances to get offended at preachers and churches all my life. But you know one thing I've done and Terry has done? We got 35 years worth of prophetic words spoken over us everywhere we go because we've stayed in church.
Amen.
Psalm 92. They shall be green and fresh in their old age. Why? Because they flourish in the courts of the house of the Lord. Where are you going to flourish? In the courts of the house of the Lord.
That's it.
You think you're going to flourish out there?
No.
He's out there to steal, kill, and destroy from you and I. But Jesus is out to build you up, build you up, build you up. I'm telling you, saints, if you'll stay under the word from now to your dying breath, you'll get stronger, fresher, healthier.
Yes.
Amen.
You'll just keep growing. You'll be built up, because that's New Testament prophecy.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Stand together.
Amen.
I feel revived. Maybe I don't need a vacation. I'm just kidding. We're leaving. God is good. Came to give us life. We don't deserve your love, Jesus, but you're the life giver. came to give us life abundantly. Just reach out and receive it right now. Reach out, lift your hands. Say, fill me, Lord. Came to give me abundance of life. Not just life, not just bios life, not just another breath, another heartbeat, but life. It only comes from God. Thank you, Jesus. And we shall be fresh and green, still bearing fruit in our old age. Hallelujah. Glory to God.